All right. Well, we'll get started this morning. Good morning and happy Lord's Day. And welcome to our second drive-in service, our Mother's Day drive-in service. It's a good thing to gather together this morning. Amen. Can I get a little beep? Amen. Come on. That's right. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And again, we're just so glad to be able to meet physically today. It has been going on almost 3 months of this whole thing. This is the second time we've met as a church, and it is a blessing. And today, of course, is Mother's Day, and the scripture says, the fifth commandment, we are to honor our fathers and our mothers. And so the elders and I, we felt that it would do our church some spiritual good at this point to have an actual, first and foremost, an in-person service, which again is why we decided to do a drive-in service, is in order to encourage us, but also to encourage our moms on this very special day. And so just as we begin, before we begin our worship part of our service, if you are on our email list, if you're a mom, you should have received a survey this week that was aimed at our moms and our grandmothers and our great-grandmothers and our congregation. And if you filled out that survey, you were entered into a giveaway this morning, actually, of a small little token of appreciation, some of these flowers that we have up here today. And again, just a way to make the day special and just to encourage us. And so we thought that this was a great idea. And so the first question that we had in that giveaway was for the mother in our congregation. Again, this is for those who entered the contest, okay? Those who entered the survey, those who filled it out. So this might not be completely accurate, but for the one who filled out the survey, the mom who entered who has the most children, and that person was Michelle Wells with 7 kids. Let's give her a beep really quick. Bring on over to Michelle. All right. Praise God. Praise God. Next, while Matt is bringing that nice flower over there, you can leave it outside of her car for now if you want, and then or whatever Michelle wants. Next, to the lady who entered the survey who has the most grandkids, that was Nancy Norman with 9 grandkids. Give her a beat. There you go. Bring it on over to Nancy. All right. There we go. Yeah. There we go. Throwing it right in the back seat of the car there. Hey. Next, the next giveaway was to the mom who had the most children with Bible names, Abraham and Moses. And again, this was not Rick, but it was my mom. It was Peggy Howard. Let's give her a beep. Beep, beep. There we go. Praise God. She had 4 kids. Praise God. And, Is my mom actually here this morning? There she is over there. I was like, where is she? But I thought I saw her. But next, the last but not least, we asked for some funny mom stories, and you did not fail you didn't fail in this, and so it was really, really hard for me to pick just one. And so before I announce the person who won, I just want to read a couple stories to you that were shared just as kind of honorable mentions, and then I'll read the one who won at the end. First and foremost, honorable mention number one comes from Sarah Miner, who writes this. When the children's church teacher comes up to you after church and tells you that your child prayed that God would protect us from the dinosaurs, right? You can give her a beep if you want, that's fine, but... Next was Charlene Sandis, honorable mention number 2. Charlene writes this: when Justin was 9, yes, 9, he found out that there was no Santa. And that night, while tucking him into bed, he asked us if the Easter Bunny was real. And we said no. He then said, what about the Tooth Fairy? And we said no. And so he burst into tears and said, what next? Are you going to tell me that you're not my real parents? And this was followed by, I hate all of this. And so, give her a beep. Thank the Lord for that. And finally, our winner story this morning goes to, and again, this is very hard for me to pick, but it goes to Cindy Bellrose. Where's Cindy? Is Cindy here? Where's Cindy? There she is. She's over there. Bring it on over. Cindy, yeah, there she is. She shared this story. She said, it's one of many funny moments in mothering. She said, I was trying to teach Matthew proper manners. and I had given him a cookie and said, "What's the magic word?" And his response was, quote, "Abracadabra." And of course, he got his cookie followed by a big kiss on the forehead. And so give her one more beep as a round of applause really quick. Amen. Praise God. And so thank you all so much for participating in that. And again, I just hope and pray that, again, that this makes this Mother's Day an honor, or a memorable one for us, not just because of little things that we do to honor our mothers, but also because, again, this is a very special time that we've set aside, especially during this this pandemic, to be able to come together and to be able to worship our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the ultimate purpose behind why we've gathered today. Yes, it's Mother's Day, but it's ultimately the Lord's Day, and we praise God for that. And so while we take the time to do that, we want to honor our Savior this morning. And so we're going to turn our hearts to Him now. So if you would you bow with me with a word of prayer as we begin this morning? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for this day that you have given to us. It is the day that you have made, and we indeed rejoice and are glad in it. I'm so thankful, Lord, for our church family. And God, I have looked forward to this day. I've looked forward to being able to come together once again. God, even though we are in our cars, even though we are not in the sanctuary, God, we are together. And we praise you so much for this great opportunity. God, I just thank you so much for the love and grace and mercy that you have shown to our church, Lord, throughout this time. And God, I pray that you would restore us. God, that you would restore us again, God, to a point where we are able to worship together physically once again, physically within the sanctuary behind us. But Lord, in the meantime, grant us patience, grant us endurance, grant us safety, grant us protection, Lord, I do pray. Lord, I thank you so much, as we've already acknowledged, for our mothers today. We thank you so much for the blessing that they are. We indeed wish to honor them and praise them as your word has commanded us to. And so, Lord, I pray that today would be a blessing to them. But Lord, ultimately, I pray that today would be glorifying to you. We have gathered together today in the name of our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come together ultimately for that great and glorious purpose of that salvation, to proclaim the salvation that you have won for us upon Calvary's tree. And God, for that glorious resurrection wherein we know we are assured of eternal life. And so, Lord, may we praise your name today in all aspects, beginning in our heart of hearts, God, as we join our hearts in a time of singing. We love you and we give this time to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And so we're going to join our hearts together for a time of worship. Again, if you would like the lyrics to the songs, if you have your smartphone, you can find them at eastfordbaptist.com/drive-in-service, all one word if you're looking them up. But we're going to start out just with our voices today, singing the doxology. And so if you would, let's join together. Let's sing.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Sing the solid rock. real quick, can you just, or Adam, can one of you guys just bring me that that iPad right there? Because I'm going to need that in just a second. Since today is, while Adam's doing that, thank you, brother, I appreciate that. Left it over there on there. But since today is such a special day and a special service, and again, we come together to honor the Lord and on this Mother's Day, I thought that we would take a look at a passage that deals specifically with the subject of motherhood and womanhood specifically. And so if you have your Bibles, if you would, turn with me to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 today. Proverbs 31 is a very interesting text of Scripture, and specifically it's a very interesting and different kind of proverb for those of you who know and have studied it out. And it's different in the fact that the author of the Proverbs, of all the Proverbs according to Proverbs 1, which is identified as King Solomon, that in Proverbs 31 he doesn't attribute it to himself. He actually attributes it to someone else, namely his mother. That's who he attributes it to. And so verse 1 of Proverbs 31 states, "The words of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him." His mother taught him. And again, if you study it out, the name Lemuel, of course, is debated among scholars as to whether or not it's simply a nickname for King Solomon or whether or not it was a different king altogether. We're not told of any other King Lemuels throughout the Bible. And so most likely, Lemuel was in fact a nickname for Solomon, probably one that his mother gave him. And his mother, of course, was Bathsheba. And so, again, and this is not outside of the normalcy for mothers. Moms are known for giving endearing nicknames to their kids. You can ask my mom. My mom has a lot of endearing and not-so-endearing nicknames for me, and so I won't repeat them this morning. But it's not outside the possibility. It's not outside the possibility that this was simply a special nickname that Bathsheba had given to Solomon. But this proverb is unique in the sense that it's a woman. It's a mother who is giving advice to her son. That's at the heart of this text. Advice which he would indeed utilize and apply to his life for his entire life, as we see illustrated in this text. As verse 2 reads, his mom asks this. He says, "What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows?" And so essentially, this mother is asking her son here, she's asking him to consider his ways, to think carefully about how he lives his life and the choices that he makes, and to consider the effects of those choices, to act wisely, which again is at the heart of the Proverbs as you read through all of them. And this is obviously what godly people do, and especially what a godly mom, a godly woman does, and what we're meant to consider and what we are meant to think about as we read through this text of Scripture. Oftentimes, this text has been called the virtuous woman passage, which, of course, is based upon the King James Version's rendering of verse 10 of Proverbs 31. In the King James, it reads, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." In the ESV, the English Standard, renders it like this, "An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels." But again, I bring our attention to this because as I study the Hebrew, as I've parsed this out over time, I actually don't believe that the term virtuous or the term excellent get really at the true meaning of what the author is getting at. That's not really what he means here. And so the Hebrew word there for the term virtuous or the term excellent in your ESV is actually the Hebrew term chayil, which can literally be translated as strength. And so the same term, actually, if you read through the entirety, if you read through it in Hebrew, same term is used in verse 3 of this text when his mother gives him this advice. He says, "Do not give your strength, do not give your chayil to women, your ways that destroy kings, your ways to that that destroys kings." And so in using that term chayil in Hebrew, we understand that essentially what verse 10 is talking about is a woman of strength, a strong woman. Is what the verse is talking about. That's what it's meant to convey. That's what we call it a Hebraism, if you know Hebrew. And so, the author is not just talking about an excellent wife, or an excellent woman, not just a virtuous woman, but a strong woman. a woman who utilizes her God-given strength to strengthen others. That's what she's doing in this text, and that's what it's meant to convey. And so, and that essentially is what motherhood is, really, when you think about it. It's using your life to strengthen the lives of those whom God has providentially put in your care. To strengthen the lives of your children. To strengthen the life of your husband. And that's what mothers do, and that's what they are to be, according to this text. They are to be women of strength. And that's actually what the title of my sermon today is. It's called The Woman of Strength. And that's what we're going to look at as we go through this text today. What does this biblical woman of strength look like? And how does she utilize that strength in the lives of those whom God has providentially put in her care? How does she do this? Well, as we break down this text, first and foremost, in order to glorify God, the woman of strength strengthens others with biblical wisdom or biblical advice. And that's essentially what the first nine verses, the first paragraph of Proverbs 31 is all about. That's what they record for us. They record for us the biblical and very practical advice from one mother to a son, about how to live in a way that will first and foremost honor God, but also in a way that will benefit himself and others in the future. And this mother knew that her son had many different responsibilities, not just as a man, but in this particular case as a king. Remember, he's writing to, as we said before, King Lemuel, or King Solomon, as we know. And so in order to live up to that responsibility that he had, that Lemuel or Solomon had, he needed to be wary of doing anything that would distract him, anything that would sap up his strength or diminish him in any way in order to govern properly and also in order to be able to live his life in a way that would honor God. Let's read verses 3-9 together. It says this. He says, this is what his mother writes to him. Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the poor and the needy. And so basically, in summary, the advice that this mother is giving to her son is not to get distracted, specifically with two different things. First and foremost, with sexuality, and secondly, with alcohol. Those are the two things that she focuses in those first nine verses. And again, this is great biblical, practical advice. And yes, by the way, motherly advice for any son to hear, right? Because both of those things have a tendency, as verse 3 states, to destroy lives. As it says in verse 3, giving one's strength or virtue to women, or by implication to many women, or sleeping around, it has dire consequences. It does. That can indeed destroy any potential greatness, any potential success in life, not to mention, obviously, dishonoring God, which again is at the heart of all of this. This is the greater consequence of going down this road. And the same could be said of drinking too much, right? I mean, alcohol has destroyed many people's lives, and thus her advice to her son is to cast that vice aside. That's her advice. Her advice to him is that it's not good for kings to drink and get drunk. Why? Well, because according to verse 5, it causes them to forget, and in that same verse, causes them to act perverted. And so more so than this, her advice implies that drunkenness is not for someone whose life is going particularly well. It's not for somebody whose life is successful. Instead, drunkenness, as it says in verse 6, is for the perishing. It's for those in bitter distress. It's for those in misery, verse 7. In other words, her advice is that drunkenness will only lead to failure in your life. It will lead to a life that does not honor God and practically a life that is just filled with so much disaster. And it's not what a man should be striving for, but more importantly, it's not what a king should be striving for in this particular case, for himself and those whom he is responsible for, his people. And that, of course, is great advice. It's great advice. This is wise advice, wise wisdom, from a sage mother who obviously speaks from experience and obviously from the Holy Spirit's leading, as we know, because this is God's Word. As I said earlier, this is most likely Solomon's mother. And as I said before, who is Solomon's mother? Well, Solomon's mother was Bathsheba. And, of course, we know Bathsheba knew a thing or two about sexual immorality and how it affected David And obviously it caused the death of not only her first husband, Uriah, but also her firstborn son. And again, you can read about that in the Old Testament. And the same could be said about drunkenness if we read the scriptures in their totality. Drunkenness always leads to misery and problems. And so avoiding it is really good advice. It's the best advice that could ever be given or followed. And so the application, bringing it all back together, is that a woman of strength strengthens others with this kind of strong, sound, biblical, and yes, practical advice. That's what mothers do. A strong mother cares for her children and wants them to grow up to be the best that they can be, and wants them to grow up to honor the Lord with their lives. And so what she does is that she takes the time to teach her children, to love on them and pour into them this kind of good and godly and biblical advice, so that, Lord willing, that child, when they grow up, will grow up to honor Christ and take it to heart and apply it throughout their lives. And so it's very, 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 very important. And so as we consider these verses on this Mother's Day, I would just say this to all of us, that if you have a mother in your life that took the time to give you this kind of sound, biblical, godly, loving advice, you need to take the time today to thank her for that, right? You need to first and foremost thank God for her, because glorify God for the blessings that He brings into our lives. We need to take the time to thank her. And more so than that, we need to take the time to strive to live in that godly, biblical way, those lessons that our mothers have poured into us. We read in 2 Timothy about young Timothy, whose grandmother, Eunice, and Lois, his mother, poured into him throughout his life. And that young man grew up to be a preacher, grew up to be a pastor. We ought to be striving for that in the lives of our children. That's what we ought to be striving for. And I know some of us today, I'm sure, who are here today, wish that we would have listened to the advice of our mothers, right? And some of us, I'm sure, wish that our moms were still with us today so that they could give us that advice, I'm sure. And so, again, if God has blessed you with this kind of godly mom who has poured into you this kind of wisdom, take the time, first and foremost, to praise God for her today. Take the time to appreciate her and tell her how much you love her and tell her how thankful you are for her and how thankful you are for her advice and her teaching in your life. Maybe call her up and tell her something that still rings true to you this day. And I mean, I know it would go far and wide. And again, if your mother is with the Lord today, maybe she's with Christ today, but I would just say to be sure to pass on to others what she has taught you. To take that godly, biblical wisdom that she has poured into you, especially if you're a mom yourself, so that you too might be a woman of strength, as Proverbs 31 describes today. But next, point number two, the woman of strength strengthens others by serving them. And so moving on in the text, that's what verses 10 to 22 outline. It outlines all of the various ways in which this woman of strength uses that strength, namely not for herself, not for her own benefit, but for the sake of others. For instance, if we break it down, verse 13, it says that she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. In other words, she works really, really hard. And she works hard willingly, it says. Not begrudgingly, not with a bad attitude. She works willingly for others. Verse 14 and 15 continues with that good work ethic and selflessness when it says that she brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. And so, in other words, she has others on her mind all the time. And she has them on their mind while she's working and working hard. She's not ultimately laboring for herself. It's not self-serving, but she is working for, as the text states, her household. She is working for her maidens, those whom God has put under her care and her employ. So it's completely selfless. Verse 16 to 22 proves this even more. With all of these variety of things, these variety of ways, these things that she does for the sake of others. Verse 16 says this. It says, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out in the night. She puts her hand to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow. This would have been a good sermon for yesterday, right? Yeah, I'm glad that the snow held off for today. But she's not afraid of the snow for her household. For all of her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. And so what we see here from these verses is that this woman of strength is doing a ton of things. She's never idle. She's busy all the time. This is what she's doing. But this busyness always has one purpose, namely serving others. Serving others whom God has providentially put in her life, those whom she is responsible for. The woman of strength is always using her strength to care for and to serve all of these folks. And so she's constantly sacrificing for the betterment of others without any kind of hint of selfishness or self-service. And again, I bring us back to this because, again, that's what motherhood really is at its heart. It's a life of selfless sacrifice, right from the time that a woman gets pregnant. I'm just going to say this. I've now seen my wife get pregnant now 3 times and give birth twice. We're waiting for number 3. But every single time that this happens, I'm always amazed. I'm always amazed at the strength. I'm always amazed at the fortitude it takes for her, first and foremost, to be pregnant. I know I'm using her kind of as an object lesson this morning, but that's okay. You know, do you mind? I know. but for her to actually be pregnant, and then to actually have the strength to give birth, but then the strength and fortitude it takes to actually care for that little one afterwards. And moms, those of you know this. You know, in pregnancy, your bodies, they get big, they get heavy, they get uncomfortable. And then there's the actual pain of childbirth, which I don't even really want to think about. You know, I mean, my wife can tell you, I stub my toe and I want to cry. But I don't have a very high tolerance for pain. But all of that is done. All of that pain, all of those things that she goes through is done for the sake of somebody else, namely for that little baby. She goes through all the morning sickness. She goes through all of the discomfort, goes through all the birth pains, not for herself, but for the sake of that little life that is growing inside of her body. But again, does it stop there? No, it doesn't. There's all the sleepless nights that happen, getting up to care for that baby for years and years. And then as they get older, and some of you older parents know this, they get into their teen years. And I'm told, I haven't had teenagers yet, but I'm told that it gets even better. You have even more of those sleepless nights, I'm sure. But again, it's a lifetime spent caring for somebody else, helping them, all selfless, all for the sake of that little one's life. That's what motherhood is. And thus we see from this text that motherhood is the epitome of selfless service, and one that should be embraced. It's one that should be appreciated. It's one that should be applauded, as this text is going to say. It should be applauded over and over and over again. Being a mother, a biblical mother, is the definition of what a strong woman looks like, period, is what it is. And of course, the world, however, would tell you the exact opposite, wouldn't they? They would tell you that motherhood is a trap, that it is somehow a weakness to care for someone else besides yourself, to care for that little child. That the truly strong woman would never be so selfless as to sacrifice her own life, to sacrifice their body and their choices, right? Their career, their respect for someone else, let alone a little, what we call a fetus, but it's really a baby, right? Motherhood is so demeaned in our culture, and selfishness is so embraced, that what is actually considered woman empowerment, is to actually legally to be able to kill a child in the womb, and in some cases, not just in the womb, but afterwards, as sick and disgusting as that is. It's perverted. But that's what the woman of strength looks like in the eyes of the world. But praise the Lord that He gives us this true picture of what that woman of strength looks like, right? As the scripture says, the true woman of strength is the one who lives her life for the sake of others. The true woman of strength is the one who exhausts herself for others, for her family, for her husband, for her children, and indeed for everyone whom God has put under her care. And so again, I would encourage you today that if you have a woman like that in your life, if you have a mother like that, a wife, a grandmother, whoever it may be, to praise God for them today. To get on your knees today and praise God for this kind of lady in your life. And then to thank them personally today for all the sacrifices that they have made for you. And to display your appreciation to them for this selflessness that they have displayed for you. And indeed, praise God for allowing her to be in your life today. And again, to you ladies who are living this life, who are honoring God in this particular way, living that life of sacrifice and honoring God in that way, to the true godly woman of strength today, I say, God bless you. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep honoring Christ in this way. And keep glorifying Him with your life. But finally, point number 3 from this text, the woman of strength strengthens others with her faith. The woman of strength strengthens others with her faith. And so the final few verses of this text, verse 23 to 31, it's a great summation of the previous points that have already been made. It's what Proverbs do. Verse 23, for instance, says that because of her hard and selfless work, that her husband is able to grow in respect in the community, and which in turn helps her family, but also helps the community itself. So again, this family structure has an effect upon the entire community if we follow the biblical standard. Verse 24 and 27, it again emphasizes her hard work in buying and selling and making money to provide for her family, and again, this work ethic that she is to have. Verse 26, it shows us what we saw in verses 1 to 9, namely her wisdom. Namely, this teaching that she invests in her family. So again, it's we see it both at the beginning of the text and at the end. But where I want to focus now is on verse 25 of the text that says the following. It says this. It says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. And so in other words, this woman of strength is not a worrier. This woman of strength is not a worrier. She doesn't sit around fretting over, as this text calls them, the days to come. That's not the woman of strength. She actually goes as far, as this text states, to laugh at them. She laughs at the future. She mocks the future. She jokes about it and casts aside all the anxiety and all of the fear of what's going to happen tomorrow. She doesn't worry about tomorrow. And so you got to ask yourself a question, how? How can that be? Especially during COVID, right? How can this woman laugh? How can she find humor in unknown times, in what's going to happen tomorrow? How can she be so strong that she simply brushes off all of the panic and all of the fear around her to the point where she laughs at it, where she actually jokes about it? How can she do this? Well, it's because of what verse 30 states. It says this, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And so this woman of strength, she doesn't fear for the future. She doesn't fear for the times to come. She laughs at it because the only thing that this woman of strength fears is God. That's what this woman is. She is a woman of faith. In other words, she can laugh at the time to come and take joy in the present and everything that's going on because she knows who is ultimately in control. She knows that God is the one who is ultimately sovereign. He's the one who is in control. She knows that God is the one who ultimately is the one who gives her the strength. God is the one who ultimately gives her the grace to be able to go about her business each and every single day, to do all these things that Proverbs 31 lists, to be this woman of strength. It's all God's grace. So she doesn't fear for the future. She fears God. And she knows this ultimately from our perspective as Christians, because by God's grace, she has ultimately been granted eternal life through Jesus Christ, her Lord. She understands that through the gospel, that God displayed His goodness and love in the most ultimate ways in her life by sending His only begotten Son, Jesus, to pay for her sins upon the cross and to cleanse her from all unrighteousness. And through that glorious resurrection, when Jesus rose 3 days later, that He provided for her eternal life. And she praises God for that. She believes that. She embraces that glorious gospel truth each and every single day of her life. And so this woman of strength is one who is comforted by her faith in the gospel, by her faith in God's sovereignty. And that is illustrated by her salvation in Jesus Christ. And that's ultimately what strengthens her. And that's ultimately what she utilizes to strengthen others. The gospel is what strengthens her, and she uses the gospel to strengthen others as well. Because of her fear of God, her strong faith in Jesus Christ, she can and does. She faces every single challenge of this life with a joy in her heart, with a peace in her heart, in this particular case, to the point of laughter. To the point of laughter, and that's infectious. This peace and this joy is infectious to those that God has put into her care. And that's why verse 28 and 29 goes on to say, her children rise up, or in other words, they grow up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. He says this, it's a quotation, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. So this woman of strength is praised by her family, by her husband, by her children. And this is all rooted all rooted in her strong faith, as this text states, in the Lord. It isn't based upon, as this text states, deceitful charm or her vain beauty or any other temporal thing that this world offers, but instead it is rooted ultimately in her strength that is displayed as she strengthens the lives of others and those that she loves through the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that they too would understand that salvation is of the Lord, that they can trust Him, that if they place their faith in Jesus Christ, that He will save them by His grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And so that is where it ultimately is. That is where this woman of strength gains her strength and the grace that she imparts to others. And so I pray this morning, in this short time that we've had together today, that this text would be a reminder to us today of the great blessings that God-fearing and sacrificial and selfless and godly mothers are in our lives. These godly women. And so I would pray that it would cause us today, who have had the privilege of having a mother or having a grandmother or a great-grandmother like this, to reflect upon the advice, first and foremost, the biblical sound advice that they have given to us over the years. And that we would be strengthened by it, that we would grow from it, that we would apply it to our lives, and that we would live by it. And I pray that it would cause us to appreciate all that they've done for us by, of course, giving birth to us and caring for us and working hard each and every single day to meet our needs, the selflessness of a mother. And finally, that it may cause us to strive to emulate their faith. If God has given you a saved, godly, gospel-believing woman in your life, mother, that their faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they've imparted to us, that like them, we would glorify our great God with our lives and serve Him with all that we have, and ultimately strive to pass that truth of the gospel down to the next generation. To pass that truth down to our children, so that they would pass it down to their children, and then their children after them. That's what a godly mother does, and we ought to praise the Lord for that. So be sure to appreciate, show your appreciation for your moms in your life, and glorify God for her today. Indeed, as verse 30 and 31 concludes with, it says this: charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Amen. Praise God. Praise God for this time that we've had. Praise God for the blessings that God has given to us in good and godly women and mothers and grandmothers in our lives. Amen. Give me a beat. You believe that. Praise God. Amen. Let's turn our hearts to a word of prayer, and then let's sing a song in conclusion today. Would you close with me? Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this time that you've given us today to open your word and to glorify you, Lord. God, I pray, God, that you would just help us to take what we have learned from this text of Scripture to heart. God, as we open up your Scriptures in Proverbs 31, God, and we reflect upon what it means to be a woman of strength, to be that godly woman, God, that first and foremost that we would learn to appreciate the blessings that you grant to us, God, that not everyone has. God, not everyone is granted or blessed to have a godly, sound, biblical mother in their life that imparts the gospel. And so, Lord, for those of us who have that kind of mother, Lord, help us to appreciate her, help us to love her, help us to praise her as this text tells us to, help us to honor her as the fifth commandment says, and Lord, help us to honor you as a result. But Lord, I would pray, God, that we would take that these glorious truths, God, and as I said, and apply them to our lives, God, ultimately giving you the glory for the salvation that you have provided for us. Perhaps it was a godly mother or father that imparted that truth to us. But Lord, ultimately it is you that saved us. Ultimately it is the gospel truth that is imparted through faithful servants, God, that you have used to save our souls. And God, we give you the glory for that. And so Lord, may ultimately we glorify you, Lord, for all the blessings that you give us, beginning and ending with the Lord Jesus Christ, beginning and ending with the gospel. The gospel truths that have saved our souls for the redemption of our sins upon the cross of Calvary and for the glorious eternal life that you have provided for us through his resurrection. And so, Lord, as we conclude today, help us to turn our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ as we conclude this service today. We love you and praise you, and we give this time to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. We're going to sing the Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, the one that we've been learning before COVID. So, here we go. Shout-out thank yous before we dismiss. First and foremost, I want to thank Brother Chris Lambert over in Brooklyn at the Christmas tree lights out there. I encourage you. He was the one that actually allowed us to, for the last two services, to borrow the FM transmitter here and so that we can hear it in our cars. And so I thank the Lord for him. Thank the Lord for Brother Jeff and Jonathan over at Buell's and everybody for the stage here. Brother Jim Bellarose and town of Woodstock for all of our cones. And it's just a big blessing. And just thank the Lord for each and every one of you for coming on out here. Thank the Lord for Brother Adam for doing our audio or our video. And Chelsea and everybody for our audio. And just thank the Lord for everybody. Be sure to thank them. But again, just in way of dismissal, are we going out this way, guys? Yeah, right out this way, just a single file. And so, are you guys going to dismiss people? Is that what's going to happen? All right, so we're going to move that out of the way, and then we'll go out this way. But thank you all so much. Praise God. It was a good service. Amen? Hopefully, Lord willing, next time we'll be in the sanctuary. Pray for that. Thank you all so much. God bless you all. You got it. Bye now.